Don't buy stocks. Everyone doesn't have a credit card. Someone is saying he can pay online with a credit card. That is very convenient, but everyone doesn't have a credit card. Don't buy stocks. You're on the air.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. 5 minutes after one. Remember, we are on standby for a press conference with post-cabinet.
Hi. A quick thing today that I was thinking about. Mm-hmm. If you shorten the hours at facilities, not I'm saying it's wrong, but I say if you shorten the hours at facilities or less banks are open, and you shorten the facilities, whether it be banks, supermarkets, wherever, right, and you have less of them open, that means you would have these people crowd in and rush in to do their business.
Oh, you have all assumptions in, because the other assumption is if more people stay home.
Well, we hope that that's happening, right? And that is the intention. But I'm talking about essential services, like, for instance, a supermarket. I've noticed that a lot of people stand in line very close to one another. I even feel uneasy going into the supermarket because people are congregating and talking, and you know, I want to go in, get my stuff, and get out. Even if I know you, I don't want to be rude, but, you know, I want to get in and get out. But people are congregating. And I would think that if you shorten the hours, then more people will want to go there and, you know, try and there are more people going, but less hours to operate their business. That's one thing. The next thing is, I think that in times like this, our food becomes, you know, in other words, you could put up a situation where, let's say, for instance, you had a whole bunch of tents in a large car park, and this tent had in corned beef, bread, you know, the basics, right? And each person stands 6 feet apart, and as one person goes through and picks up their items, two per customer, they go through and pick up the stuff, and out they come and pay for it, and on their way. And there'll be less interaction there, and, you know, the basics will be there, you know, just the basics. I don't know what your opinion is on that.
I think that resources for the organization of such would be required. And in a time when the supermarket has reduced the number of staff and the hours have been shortened by government, to then have a situation, people buy, I think last month when cabinet met, we heard that the number of items in the supermarket are in excess of 4,000 in terms of the line items. There are people who have different tastes. Everybody may not want a corned beef. Somebody may want a sardine. Somebody may want slam. Not slam. It has another name. Salami. Another person may want luncheon meat. Another person may want rice. Another person may want flour. So you're suggesting that they set up all of these individual tents with all these different things?
No, ma'am. I'm not saying that you do all of those items. Because I know
you mean dry goods?
Yes. I know a supermarket has vast. Like, for instance, you could get people giving tomatoes, like not, but selling tomatoes. One tent has them, butternut squash and stuff like that. And you could go from tent to tent and pick up, because in times
But think about the logistics, which is what I'm thinking of. The resources to make those things happen would still have to be worked out.
Yeah, but at the end, you must admit that it would keep the people apart.
I'm not sharing that thought process. I think it's an interesting perspective, but I think people need to stay home. More people need to stay home. Those who need to be on the road need to go and get their stuff and get off the road. And the better that is, that logistical suggestion that you're making would then be able to work. I can't see how a supermarket that is having a throughput of, let's say, 6,000 people in one day, the times are shortened to, let's say, they've lost 4 hours of the 18 hours that they would have had. Or let's say they've lost 8 hours of those 18, so they now have only 10 hours. And the throughput may very well, the number of persons may go down to 4,000. And then we have social distancing, and then people take very long to do what they have to do. And No. I think people need to those who don't need to be on the road, they are clogging the system. And those who don't need to be in the supermarkets are clogging the system. I think they need to get that sorted, get in, get out, and get out. And but not to, I'm not in agreement with the tenting. One, that's another cost. Up to yesterday when I visited an establishment and they had a tent at the side. I'm not sure what the tent was used for, because when you talk about social distancing and you talk about 6 feet apart, that tent can only hold three people in it. What then will be the purpose of that? So when I look at logistics, I think we must not complicate things. We just need to reduce the number of persons who are going into the establishment in the first place and let them get in and get out. But thanks so much for your suggestion. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Okay.
Hello. Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. I have a situation with Scotiabank where before Scotiabank had upgraded their ATM systems, users could go and pay their credit card through the ATM without having to have an account at the bank. After the upgrade, we were downgraded in that we could no longer pay our credit cards at the ATM. We were told that we must have an account at the bank, otherwise we have to join the line. That was not something that I had planned to do. So I had to go into the bank each time to pay. So now that the bank is no longer open, this will present a challenge to make payments to Scotiabank. So I would like to know what they will be doing about this situation.
One response would be, and I don't work for Scotia, but I can share with you that if you do have a bill which is normally monthly paid, and we have shortened times for 2 weeks, it then means that the one payment would have been made already, so you might not have made it. And if you have to make it within the next 2 weeks, the bank has already said that there's going to be a moratorium on payments. So I assume that credit cards and the like will fall into that. That's my response to you. Other than that, you call your banking institution and ask them for some clarity, but I can't answer that for you here.
Right. From what I understand, you will still have to pay interest. And I usually make different payments as cash comes there. So you still have to pay that interest. I would like to know.
You understand this from whom, may I ask?
There was a document that had been shared that said that there won't be.
It was shared by Scotia?
Well, I saw it on my WhatsApp.
I asked if it was shared by Scotia.
I am not sure.
But okay, but what I can share with you is to contact your service provider, that being Scotia, online via email, because you do have your documents for the credit card when they issued you with the credit card, and make your query there for clarity. But WhatsApps that are not Scotia qualified would not be anything that I would believe or go with. That's what I will respond to you and tell you.
Thank you.
I hope that helps. Dr. Brastacks, thought that we were going straight to our press conference, but that time hasn't come as yet. We have two, and these are some questions that we will get a few from different persons asking. There are different permutations, different banks do different things. One was a query there on Scotiabank. This one has to do with RBC, but this caller is saying, this WhatsApper is saying, I was having the same query at Republic Bank, and they told me that I don't have to pay the interest on the credit card. I called them this morning. They gave me the balance and told me I can pay when the bank reopens. So persons who have queries, still reach out. Today is a full working day, up until 2 p.m. at most banks. So if you can still call to get queries on your specific situation, hoping that they can clarify anything for you. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Good morning, Miss Lisa Leo. How are you?
Good morning, Lisa. What
Lisa
you call me?
Leo.
Oh.
Lisa Leo. How are you?
Call me Lisa Lane. I'm well, you know. I'm doing well, thank you.
I did, by mistake.
Yes.
Anyway, listen, I was wondering, would the government be able to, when at night, to wash down the street, especially in Bridgetown, like, you know, and disinfect, you know, with, I know they can use the salt water to wash down the street.
Who you want to wash down the street?
Well, the government, isn't it? Get the people, you know, that with the, or the fire truck, if there's no fire, to wash it down, because
which streets, Winnie?
Street in Bridgetown.
Or Bridgetown.
Yes, because I see other country doing it. I see Jamaica doing it now, washing down the street at night. You know, because, you know, that's, they say you have to be careful when you come in. Don't leave your shoes at the door, and you know, because of what you could walk in.
So why only Bridgetown, please?
Well, anywhere they can wash down. Just, you know, just do something, because this thing is damn dangerous, man. Mm. You know, and, you know, it's not a nice thing to, you know, to have or to see going on, you know. Just what, that's what I wanted, just thinking that, you know.
Okay.
But, Miss Gale, the gentleman that talk about the phone, they do that to you, you know, and if you don't take notice and it keep doing to you, they will keep sending it, because that did happen to my husband. His bill was due on the 27th, and he paid it the 27th, and the next bill, he see that they charge him extra. He went and they talk to them and they take it off, and they never do it again. If you don't look at your bill, and you
very
keep paying
important.
It, yes, you see, you know, so these people are clever, and they see, you know, who's, you know, what's going on, and, you know, but what again now? Why are these people going to the supermarket? Why are they clubbing up to each other? So why don't they stand apart? You know, I think this thing is getting out of hand with the shopping, though, Miss Gale, because they don't have to be in the supermarket every day like that, do they?
I don't think it's the same people. I was trying to find justification for it. I hope that it is not the same people. And... Yeah. Yeah, I hope it is not the same people. I just have one comment there. Someone said that the bank said that they're still going to charge interest even if you don't pay. They're allowing you not to pay, but they're still charging you interest. That one doesn't make any sense to me.
No, and that the government shouldn't give the bank no relief, no release, no aim, no ease. Because if they're charging you because you're late payment because of you.
But they're the first ones off the bat. Who came out and said they're going to give a moratorium on
the,
loans?
No, the government. No, this is one time I disagree with the government. You cannot help the bank. The bank.
Not the government. I said the banks are the ones who came out and said that they're going to give their clients, their customers, a reprieve by
and
giving you a 6 month
moratorium.
But no, someone just sent me that. I don't have to verify that. But
you know,
yes,
the bank, you cannot give the bank nothing because the bank are getting away with a lot of murder. They're taking from you, and it. You know, they never say, okay, let me ease you 1 month. You know, and they're making billions. The directors and everybody getting millions a year time.
So tell me something, Winnie. Are you taking care of yourself and staying off the road and doing what you're supposed to do?
Well, I try to. I don't go on the road that much. No. Even for the week, I went outside about twice, I think.
Okay.
Because I am a husband.
Twice? That's a lot of time, though. You don't outside twice? The week only has four days
so
far.
If my husband go, I go along with him and he stay in the car, I don't go out. I just go for the ride.
For the company.
Yes. No. As an asthmatic, I got to be very careful.
You do. Don't compromise yourself.
Anyway,
all right.
You have a good day, okay?
Take care of yourself. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Keith Roy Halliday. I'm the general manager of the Barbados Water Authority.
Yes, sir. Good to hear you.
I'm sorry I missed the earlier discussions. I've been in meetings, but I understand that there's been a cry for the Barbados Water Authority to come on to Brass Tacks and to talk a little bit about what's happening in St. John. And
yes, Glebe Land, St. John, they're having some challenges, and this is 2 weeks they've indicated that they have not had running water, and they have to be running to get their water from the trucks. And this is inconveniencing at a time when COVID-19 has found itself in Barbados.
Okay. This is not a phenomenon that is particularly new. We have addressed this several times and we keep addressing it. And there are some realities here that some individuals are still having difficulty embracing or accepting, which is that given the fact that we have drought-like conditions, we're simply not able to produce enough water to go through the pipes. If you take Wilmington, for instance, which is the central key basin in the St. John area, St. John, St. Joseph, even, that station is actually offline for several hours a day now, because there's simply not enough water in that aquifer for us to be able to produce and send to the pipes. So what is happening? We have a situation that is primarily twofold. One, there is insufficient water to go through the pipes, and as a consequence, in terms of filling the reservoir will not have enough water, enough pressure to meet the higher elevations, the areas of high elevations in St. John. And so we would have had complaints from the likes of maybe Sherbourne, Porthouse, and a number of those other surrounding districts, because the water is not able to go to the higher elevations given what we have, given the challenges we have with the aquifer. What can we do about it? We have continued to deliver water through our trucks, our tanker system. We continue to top up the community tanks. And yes, we do understand, believe me, we understand the frustration. We even understand the fear. The fear is very, very real. We're not going to step away from that. We're not going to not acknowledge that. And besides, a number of our staff also reside in those areas. But what we want everyone to understand is that the Barbados Water Authority is doing what it can do. We cannot make any more water, unfortunately. So we're pushing as much water as we possibly can into the system. Every time you have a drought situation, every time you encounter a situation like this, there isn't anything else you can do except to do the shutoffs in different areas, whether it's St. George or other areas, to share and to push that water into those areas that are actually exhibiting a deficit. So in the case of St. John, we know what is happening. We're doing the very best that we can. And short of us being able to have funding to do what else is required, at least on an interim basis, it's a situation that we can only continue to make sure that at the very least, we are delivering water in instances where we cannot deliver it through the pipe.
Okay, so that also speaks to Bosco Bell, St. Peter, and those other areas where we've also heard that they're having a crisis.
Yes, because once you have a drought, there are a number of areas that are going to be affected. And that's a very good point, because it is not unique to St. John. It is also affecting a number of other areas around the island.
I have a query for you, though.
Yes.
A few months ago, probably about 2.5 months ago, we had a caller who worked at the Barbados Water Authority a little while ago, very knowledgeable gentleman who's passed his years in terms of he's no longer eligible to work, as in he's retired. But he still has quite a bit of technical knowledge, and he's very willing to assist. He did say that there are some ways that water can be found. What say you about that, sir?
I'm very, very wary of comments that are made in isolation and perhaps could even be considered to be conjecture.
Okay.
What we have an engineering team that is quite adept and who have consulted with quite a number of other engineers.
Mm-hmm.
Our engineers will also call upon any other past or current employee who may have a certain level of experience or who is aware.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is closed off. Nothing is shut off.
Okay.
Everything is considered.
Okay.
So if we have such a gentleman out there who believes that he has information of import, we would welcome him to share it with the engineers. But hydrology, geographical differences, and the way in which our systems work, our distribution systems work, is a combination of all of that has to be considered in terms of whether or not we can get water to a particular area.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an engineer, and every day that I've been here, I've learned so much in terms of how the distribution system works,
mm-hmm.
in terms of the hydrology and the lay of the land, that I understand sometimes why it is easy for individuals or anyone to think that it is a simple matter of just sending water from one area to another or producing more.
In all fairness, it wasn't a person who just came off his streets. This is a former worker of the Barbados Water Authority who said he was part of the digging of water. And if I'm using the wrong terminology, but it's an off-air conversation that I always promised
mm-hmm.
I was going to have with you. So just stand by for that conversation at the appropriate time. Now is the time to make sure that Glebe Land, Wilson Hill, Porthouse, Sherbourne, Bomaston, Bosco Bell, and all those areas that I have heard over the last weeks that I've been having some challenges, we will deal with that now, and we can have that conversation at another time. But thanks so much for calling. You wanted to make one last comment?
Well, we just want to implore Barbadians not to panic, but to do their very best as much as they can. In instances, even where you're not getting pipe-borne water, once you're getting water, we ask you to make the best use of that, be as judicious as you possibly can. We also want to encourage them to be responsible as well as much as they can for their own water security and to make sure that they secure as much water and save as much water as they can. We keep saying that you need to save 5 gallons per individual, and that remains the same. That is the minimum we will expect you to save per day into going into the foreseeable future.
How much was that?
5 gallons per individual per day.
Yes. Yes, we heard that figure before.
Yes. And just to be vigilant as much as you can, but rest assured that there is a solution in place. We've had a vineyard project online that we're trying to push forward. We need to get the funding to finish that. That's where we're going to be able to transport or rather distribute water from the St. Philip area into the St. John area. But until and unless we can deal with the aquifer situation, which is beyond the realm and capacity of the Barbados Water Authority, we are doing the very best we can to get trucking the water as much as we in all instances. And that is where we stand at the moment.
Thank you so much. Just finally, quickly, two things. One would be the reconnections, but that could come in another conversation. And then a call, a WhatsApper is saying, asking if you can't review the shut-off days at Cottage St. George, at least shut-off at night and then later in the day. But they said that every Monday, Wednesday and Friday, the water goes off, I guess,
and
during the day.
Shut-off.
And it is very difficult for them now that they're at home. So even if you can rejig the timing, I think that's not a difficult call that you can give a little compromise, especially now that more persons are at home.
I will say this much. No matter how you rejig it, no matter how you play with those hours and times, somebody's going to be affected. Somebody's going to be upset. Somebody's going to be displeased.
But
we will continue to look at it. We will continue to do the best that we can. The reconnections are proceeding as best as we can. We have actually screened all of the reconnections by the report I have in hand, screened all of the possible options, and we have been moving fastidiously to connect as many as we can. Oddly enough, a vast majority of those numbers are actually either vacant or they're actually service accounts that clients themselves have asked to be disconnected.
For
the remainder that we're dealing with, we're just about completed that exercise, to the best of my knowledge.
Thank you.
The guys have been out working nonstop to get that done.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Keith Roy Halliday from the Barbados Water Authority. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We have a full board. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hello, good day.
Good day.
Oh, hi, Ms. Gill. Hi. Yeah, I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener. Just wanted to share a few things with you and the listening public today.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, hi, right. Well, first off, let me just make a disclaimer. Basically, I'm not a doctor, not have no formal training or any medical field, but I just do consider myself, a good study in the human condition and so on. All this ties into basically, I guess, our response now to the COVID situation, especially with all the long lines and such at the supermarkets and stuff like that. What I believe is, what people are struggling with now, obviously, is the refusal to change. Obviously, this is a change that, you don't want to do because of you're kind of being forced into it. So everyone there now is out there all in the sun queuing up, basically just trying to do what they normally do on a regular basis. And that's causing a lot of issues, as what I'm seeing as. And I think that's something that, I guess, the authorities really need to understand and be able to, I guess, respond in some form or fashion. I mean, I have a few suggestions, really, but I'm not sure, depending on how much, resources and stuff like that we have to hand, if that's something that we could actually implement. What I would say, though, instead of calls ago, I spoke to a gentleman there that was talking about having things under tents and so on. You remember?
I'm going to have to stop you here, sir, given that we were on standby for a press conference. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
We are in discussions with supermarket owners to see how we can certainly be able to provide through electronic commerce, as well as perhaps a staggering of allowing persons across the country to be able to access the services, particularly the most vulnerable in that category, to allow them to be able to fulfill specific grocery orders. And those discussions are ongoing, and we will continue to update the country as it relates to that. There are thousands who buy their groceries every day from what in Barbados we consider the village shops. And I want the public to appreciate that we have not placed the restriction on the village shops because we understand and appreciate that will normally visit the village shops in order to get basic groceries. That said, we have in the order obviously indicated to the country that we can have no more than 3 persons congregating at a time, and for also the purpose of the village shops, that no alcoholic beverages will be able to be sold. So essentially, we're asking the village shop owners to ensure that they just simply provide the necessary dispatch of groceries to persons living in those communities, but to curtail and to ensure that there are clear restrictions on persons congregating for more than 3, and also that there are no alcoholic beverages which are sold. I want to reiterate that all restaurants should remain closed until midnight on the 14th of April 2020. Again, the sale of alcoholic beverages will also be prohibited for the duration of this period. Automarts at gas stations will only be open for the sale of top-ups, but I want to make the point that gas stations will remain open because we recognize that a number of the essential service providers will obviously have to move around the country, and they will obviously be at the center of being able to utilize the service. Obviously, if persons are going to the doctor or they're making their way back home as a result of the top-up, obviously that will be permissible at this point in time. The sale of bread from bakeries and bread depots will also remain in place in terms of them persons being able to purchase from those bakeries and bread depots. Again, culturally, we also recognize that there's a large percentage of persons that from day to day will often visit the bread shops. They may not have the disposable income as some in the country to be able to stock up on large quantities of food, and we want at this point to be able to allow them to be able to maintain their presence purchasing those items. I want to also reiterate that all government departments will remain closed unless otherwise specified by the head of the civil service. The head of the civil service will send out a memo to all ministries indicating who will be required to come to work. And that relationship obviously will be further clarified with the permanent secretaries of the respective government departments. I want to give the country the assurance that this government will continue to monitor the situation. As I would have said last night, this is a very fluid situation, and we continue to be in discussions with our stakeholders. But there will be further COVID directives over the course, no doubt, of the next few days, and certainly during this period, as we continue as a government to work with these respective stakeholders to monitor the situation and to do right by the people of Barbados. I thank you.
Dr. Brastax, we did not get the entire press conference, but at some point I'm sure Starcom will bring the entire piece for all and sundry. I hope that, given that we didn't get all, you will still have some questions, and I'm sure that there are persons who are going to be asking some questions right now who will not get them answered immediately, but I'm hopeful that all of that information will be able to come to the fore. Dr. Brastax.
Hi, I'm still hanging on from before
yes,
the press conference.
Yes, thanks for holding.
Yeah, thanks. Right, where was I? Well, I was just saying that I guess based on the force of persons now to change and accept change at this point in time might be obviously part of the problem where, you know, people trying to adapt, and but adapting slowly, right? So what I was thinking of, based on what I've read, like that would have been happening in, say, Wuhan, China, and how they actually be able to provide food for, you know, persons in certain districts and whatnot, they would have started stuff like in group buying, you know, sort of like a group buying store service, similar to how we have like the delivery services now, but probably a lot more mature, where kind of condense multiple orders and just have like single or a couple persons just go out and acquire those things for people so that at least, you know, you kind of lessen the lines and so on, you know, at supermarkets and stuff, so that at least then you satisfy the physical distancing and so on.
Yeah.
Right. Also, well, I guess one part of that, I guess, from speaking to some friends of mine, that I guess is still is something that's built into our culture, probably cultures of other nations as well, is that we have the inclination to go somewhere and pick out your own things yourself. You know, you want to be you want.
We are social beings. We're also independent, yeah. And we are also stubborn.
Yeah,
don't be shy to say.
Yeah, so it seems that obviously that is a hindrance on, you know, how people will be able to move forward and move ahead in this period of time. Because this time is not a normal time. This mm-hmm. is an extraordinary time, mm-hmm. and it will take a while, but I think there needs to be an adaptation somewhat, a little change in the mindset of people. I know it can be hard for most people, but mm-hmm. if I think that certain things, like say from the authorities, well, government or private entities, they kind of create certain services that would allow people to condense orders and then be able to say, you get a care package. So similar to how, like, I guess right now, like Salvation Army, for instance, they will probably, at Christmas, but package, you know, care packages to send them out. So, you know,
some care packages are currently being sent out. I think what I neglected to mention, I heard the Minister of Elderly Care talk about the work that was being done under her ministry with the identified families that were having difficulties and that care packages were being prepared and distributed. And then I saw online a number of persons who are not representatives of government who are also doing care packages at this time for different for families who are less fortunate.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So, yes, that's a very good thing.
Yeah, okay. I think what would be happening, too, is that there would be a sector of society that still is left out, probably not in the most vulnerable, but I guess the lower middle class or somewhat where I guess they have their own car and you might have a job or you might have just lost a job and so on, but you still have some money available to you, but then you want to be able to be independent and getting out there and acquire your stuff, but wouldn't be, I guess, necessarily be open to have somebody choose your stuff for you. And, you know, be able to stay at home to accept the delivery and, you know, be able to stay away from those crowded places. But at least once we could get that and establish, like, people not queuing, I think we are on a way to, at least on a path to getting
there.
Better, you know, situation going. So it's just that part there that possibly we're, I don't know, a furthering of these services or, you know, a further maturation of these services where they're more delivery oriented.
The more the need, the more the demand, the more people are going to demand those services. But yes, we are seeing some growth. I think a little bit of maturity is coming in with some people, but then we also have those persons who it's difficult for them to adapt to this new space. It is new. When I think about it, when I look back, this is 18 days since our first case, and prior to that, we were getting updates, but we weren't sure if it was going to come to Barbados in the throngs that it was happening to the other countries, etc. So people are now getting used to this new normal, and as a result, the adaptability quotient is not going to be as high as in, let's say, 5 months or 5 weeks down the road after we have accepted that, yes, this is upon us, and these are the new measures, and this is where we will go from here. But thanks so much for sharing your thoughts. This is Dr. Brass Stacks.
Yes, good afternoon.
Dr. Brass Stacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yes, ma'am. I have been listening to the press briefings recently, and I have come to some conclusions based on the experiences of other countries across the world in dealing with this COVID pandemic. Now, let me give you an analogy. A virus is like a fire. A fire requires two things to operate. It requires oxygen and requires combustibles. If we deprive the fire of either oxygen or combustibles, the fire will go out. The virus is the same. The virus requires a human host and it requires human vectors in order to survive. Now, any strategy that is taken by any country requires that either one or two of these factors be removed from the virus's existence so that you can contain it and drive it into dormancy or into extinction. Now, in Barbados, we have gone on a trajectory where we have partially closed our ports of entry and partially closed the admission of people coming into Barbados.
Indirectly.
I am saying that we need to go full measure. I heard recently that there are still people coming into Barbados and they will be put into quarantine and so on. I am saying to you that the for example, the airport should be closed on this basis. It does not mean closing the airport or the seaports. Does not mean that you board up the windows, you board up the doors, you lock the doors and send home the staff. It doesn't mean that at all. What it means is that you ban all commercial passenger entry into Barbados. No commercial airlines whatsoever. Now, there are three divisions or three categories of traffic that you would allow into the country. First traffic is cargo. You cannot exist without cargo. Barbados is an importing society. And we need to be able to import cargo. The reason being that you can manage cargo. The average cargo plane coming into Barbados will have a flight crew of about four people and two loadmasters. They will discharge their cargo, fuel the aircraft, and be on their way. They do not have to disembark into Barbados. Okay?
Mm-hmm. That's secondly, one. Secondly.
Right. Secondly, you have a situation where you might need emergency medical services, medical teams coming to Barbados.
That's currently in place.
The situation gets worse and so on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But these people will be coming into our environment in hazmat suits, so they will not be able to contaminate the environment or have the environment contaminate them. Thirdly is the transit flight, the flight that is actually refueling in Barbados and going on their way. These people will not disembark from the aircraft. The aircraft will be fueled and they will be on their way. Okay.
What about Barbadians? Which are primarily the people who are coming in?
This is an extremely... This is the real difficult and draconian part of it. Right?
Mm-hmm. Doing like Jamaica? You're suggesting to do like Jamaica?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Because we are dealing here... The virus does not care whether you are a Barbadian, whether you have been living in Barbados for the last 50 years or so. This being a war here, right? Mm-hmm. And draconian measures have to be taken. The reason why China has been able to control the virus to a large extent is that early in the game, China did the hard thing. They took draconian steps to do that, right?
I read yesterday about reinfections, so...
Yes, because
we still need to manage...
There are people who are coming into China, right, who are being basically repatriated back into China. And China has now reimposed a lot of those strictures based on the fact that there are clusters of reinfections occurring in China right now. So, and that is largely due to the people who there have wisely or unwisely reimported back into China. Now, what I'm saying to you is Barbados is a very small country, extremely small in geographical size, and very, very densely populated. We are the most densely populated country, or one of the most densely populated countries in the world. Therefore, the ability for the virus to use Barbadians as vectors for its dispersal through the system is very much more significant than in other countries larger than us. Okay? So we need to pay due attention to that. Now, my point is that if we hope to get ahead of the virus, because right now we are threatened to fall behind the virus, and that is not good. Right? Countries that fall behind the virus are headed virtually south. You know what I'm saying? So we need to be able to keep ahead of the virus, and we need to do the draconian things now. And I, as a Barbadian, of course, I wouldn't like the draconian things to happen, but it needs to happen. And we need to do it. We need to be able to bite that bullet, do the draconian things, and to keep ahead of the virus's spread. Otherwise, we're going to find ourselves in an extremely dangerous position. The same position that the United States is finding itself in now because they failed to do the really tough things early in this game. Now, there are people, there's scientists across the world, working on cures and vaccines for this virus. Because the virus is new, because it is constantly adapting itself to human DNA, because it is constantly evolving, that is going to make the situation very much more difficult than it would have been ordinarily, right? Now, there are certain peoples in the population, a certain percent of the population, that will be immune to the virus. Now, I am not a microbiologist, but I remember back in the 1970s, there was a massive infection rate of the Hong Kong virus. You remember the Hong Kong virus?
I heard about it. I was born in the late '70s.
Right. There was a huge infection rate of the Hong Kong virus in Barbados. Now, the Hong Kong virus was probably part of the whole coronavirus family. And that might have given
you
some
said
people
was probably, and you said might. If you're not a microbiologist and you don't have these definitive things,
that's what he said,
then
might.
You manage
that's
your what you say. Don't make any assumptions.
No, that's what he said, might.
Well, but might will cause somebody to think that you said it and you sound intelligent enough that you're speaking factually, but you're not.
Fair enough, right? In the event that it is, because it originated in China too, in Hong Kong, right? In the event that it is, then there are people in the society, in general, in the world society, that might have a certain amount of immunity to coronavirus viruses, per se, because your body looks at a virus, and the reason why the coronavirus, the COVID, is so effective right now is that most people in the world do not have any idea of what the virus is, and they do not treat it as an enemy. They cannot produce the antibodies to treat the virus. Okay,
as you bring it home, what is your? I like your suggestion there with the cargo, the medical teams, the transit.
Is that we need to be doing the very draconian things now, and Britain is shutting down for like 6 months. Right? That is going to be tough. That's going to be hard to do. Right? This is going to have an impact on Barbadians because we, as a Barbadian society, we are a free-going society and we like to be able to do things in a very good, rigorous way and so on. Mm-hmm. It's going to be difficult. But I'm saying to you, if we do not do these difficult things now, it will be much more difficult for us to do them 2 weeks down the road, 2 months down the road, when this thing really starts to bite into our society. We need to do it now. We need to do it in a very strict and draconian manner, because if we do it now and we starve the virus of new vectors and new hosts, we will be smiling 2 months down the road
you raised some good points. I would say in response is that both ports are effectively closed. So the new, you're talking about new, first of all, there's no new persons coming through the port at all, no persons who've landed are coming on shore. You call it no onshore entrance, that's for sure. With the airport, there are still persons coming in, but not the plane loads that we've had before. We have, based on what's happened outside, there's so many flights that have been downed, and therefore very few people are coming. And the ones who are coming now, we understand the directive is that they have to go through the 14-day quarantine effective today. And I think that is basically what you're asking for is existing right now, so that we starve, as you say, the oxygen and the combustibles. Down to Brass Tacks, remember we go until 2 p.m.?
Hello?
Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Hello?
Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Loud and clear, you can be heard.
Okay. What I'm calling is that I was wondering if anybody has gone through the pine. You know, there are a few people there who told me that they don't have anything to eat. Yes, I did my part.
Anybody has gone through the...
The pine. You know, the part closer to the highway. The part closer to the highway. Those houses, I don't want to identify any special place. but is the road leading off the highway and putting back to the road to go down to the sanitation place.
Pioneer Smith Boulevard?
I don't know what to call there, but there are some people there. There's a guy there, he fixed cars, though, but you're coming across. But there are people there, at least two families I know I met. I did my part, yes, but they said they don't have anything in the house, but I did my part. And I would like if somebody, it is Santa Bratcher, Honorable Santa Bratcher constituency anyway, if they are giving out the stuff, if they could even pass there and give some of those people a little handout, you know, just to sustain them for a while.
Okay.
I don't want to frequent the place because I used to do it, but I have to hold off. But I had to do it today.
And it's on the main road, you're saying? On that same main road?
No, the nearest place to the main road highway. The nearest village going to that road. The first road after you turn off the highway. After you turn off the highway and you're going straight across, you know, to put back to the other road to go down to the sanitation place. Right? That first road.
I think I know
right?
what you mean. Okay.
Okay.
All right, thanks so much for sharing that information.
Right.
Dr. Brass Sacks? Dr. Brass Sacks? You are on the air? Dr. Brass Sacks? As we wrap up, we have two more calls I'm seeing. Dr. Brass Sacks?
Can you hear me?
Yes, quickly.
Oh,
you have 30 seconds.
To
peace to you as well.
I was calling to agree with Vinny about sanitizing the streets.
I didn't even respond to Vinny on that particular point, but Bridgetown is washed down. I know it was washed down.
I feel not only Bridgetown. I feel the majority of streets where traffic, you know, especially those main streets that travel all the time. Because as she said, and I watch, I keep looking back at it all the time and trying to know what they were doing, sanitizing all the streets. And I was glad if Water Authority would do, when you call them for burst pipes and mains, we'd be still be able to get water if they come in time to stop the water from wasting. Thank you very much, and be safe.
Thank you so much. This has been Dr. Brass Sacks today, the 2nd of April, 2020. My name is Lisa Gale. We had Mr. John Stout in the studio, and we covered a host of issues relative to persons. I think we're going to go back to the... Okay, we're going to come to the end of Dr. Brass Sacks. We have up until 2 p.m., and I hope that we were able to answer some of your questions.
Lisa, I think we have an applause. Pausing for. We want to repeat the relevant parts.
I think
of
that's
that.
Necessary.
Yeah, I think it is. Because my phone is ringing off the hook. I can't even answer
it. We started a little late.
She repeated the key parts, but we do want to repeat that because what the acting prime minister and the attorney general said is very critical, and we want to ensure that people have clarity on that.
Okay.
So as soon as the program, we conclude the brass tacks,
yes.
We want to let the public know. You can join us. We will repeat the relevant portion of that, I would say not necessarily news conference, but presentation by the acting prime minister, the attorney general, about 7 minutes of it. I can tell you briefly though, Lisa, essentially what the prime minister, the acting prime minister started to say, they've had one more confirmed case since yesterday.
Okay.
That now brings the total for Barbados to 46 cases after one more positive test. The members of this cabinet subcommittee have met, and they've met with a number of the supermarket owners and the gas station owners.
Mm-hmm.
And the field, I know I saw it this morning looking out my office window, I could see a long line gathered at a supermarket across the city.
Yes.
And they said that, you know, even despite all the warnings and the regulations this morning, and despite what was said last night, still long lines being gathered at these supermarkets and other places. And they've had to come to a decision that this will now be a 24-hour curfew. They say they can no longer delay closing supermarkets, so supermarkets will be closed. Mm-hmm. Supermarkets and mini marts, I believe people will still be able to order, but online only.
Yeah.
Village shops can continue to be open, but no more than 3 people can assemble there. And of course, the sale of alcohol is banned.
Mm-hmm.
All restaurants are closed until midnight on the 14th of April. Again, they're banned from selling alcohol. Gas stations are only open for top-ups, but the gas stations will also continue to be open to facilitate some other, fill up of especially essential services, but gas stations only open for top-ups. All Government departments will be closed, will remain closed, except for those individuals who are will be notified by memo that they need to be at work. The Attorney General made a point stressing the police will fully enforce the restrictions and people will be charged if you violate, which is now a 24-hour curfew. You're only supposed to be on the street. Let me go back to that part. As a matter of fact, I think you're only to be on the street if you are going for medical attention or if you're part of the essential services. Yeah, you're only on the road to go to the pharmacy or to seek medical, which obviously you might need vital medication. All right, you're only to be on the road if you have to go to the pharmacy or if you have to go to seek medical attention or if you're working in part of the essential services. Apart from that, you're to be off the street. And people will be arrested for violating the curfew.
We know, and this takes effect from when, Stetson?
I will go through. I believe she said 5 p.m. I'll listen back because I don't want to misspeak.
Okay.
So we wrap up now.
Yes.
And we'll go back and we will play the acting prime minister at the top of the hour.
So thank you, Stetson, and thank you to all of our listeners and all of our WhatsAppers. This has been Down to Brass Tacks.
These are the stations of the Starcom Network. Let's join now the Acting Prime Minister Sanchez Bradshaw and the Attorney General Dale Marshall. Here is a synopsis, or rather an edited version, of their statement earlier today.
Okay. So for the avoidance of any doubt, the curfew is a 24-hour curfew, unless there is a legitimate business which will require you to leave your home and to be on the road. You can only be on the road to go to the pharmacy, to seek medical assistance, or if you are part of any of the essential services, or if you are doing business with any of the businesses which are exempted under the order. Therefore, as of 5 p.m. tomorrow, Friday the 3rd of April, all supermarkets and mini-marts shall remain closed until further notice. We are in discussions with the supermarket owners to see how we can engage in some form of electronic commerce, which would obviously allow persons to be able to fulfill grocery orders. And those discussions are continuing. Those who might not be able to use the e-commerce facilities, we intend obviously at some point to be able to have those deeper negotiations with them to see how we may be able to allow persons to get their groceries. There are thousands who buy their groceries every single day from what we commonly refer to in Barbados as our village shops. And for a large cross-section of Barbadians, that is how they will get their oil, that is how they're going to get their flour. But we also accept that in a number of these village shops, the sale of alcohol is also quite common, and that is why we have also prohibited the sale of alcohol during this particular period. I want to remind the village shop owners that during this period, no more than 3 persons are allowed to congregate, and I would ask their indulgence in ensuring that they simply dispatch the goods to customers and allow persons to be able to return to their home. So really the main purpose is to allow for the dispatch of pretty much essential items. I want to also reiterate that all restaurants should remain closed until midnight on the 14th of April. The sale of alcoholic beverages will also be prohibited for the duration of this period. The automarts at gas stations will only be open for the sale of top-ups, but otherwise, gas stations will still remain open to the public. Again, a number of our essential service providers will require access to these facilities, as well as persons who are legitimately leaving their homes in order to go to the pharmacies and to all of the other exempt services in order to be able to fill up their vehicles. The sale of bread from the bakeries, as well as bread depots, will also remain open during this period. It is our feeling that a number of Barbadians often utilize the bakeries in order to be able to purchase their bread and their other items, other pastries. And it is important at this time that they are able to continue to do so. But we will be continuing to monitor the situation. And the Honorable Attorney General has assured me that where entities remain open, there will be a police presence, heightened police presence in across Barbados. I want to reiterate that all government departments will remain closed unless otherwise specified by the head of the civil service. The head of the civil service will send out a memo to all ministries indicating who will be required to come to work. And in the directive, it will clearly state that a memo will be issued by the head of the civil service. So for persons who work in the public sector, they can stay tuned for that memo to be able to guide them as to whether they are required at this time to be at work. We will continue to monitor the situation. It is a very fluid situation, as I would have said last night. It is one that the dynamics are constantly changing, and our response has to continually be one where we protect the public interest. So I think the public can expect that there may be further changes, but at this stage we have put in place what we consider to be a response to the concerns expressed by not just average Barbadians, but also by our respective stakeholders in terms of the handling in particular of the supermarkets and the mini-marts across the country.
Acting Prime Minister, a question.
Thank you, Prime Minister. I believe that most Barbadians will be reflecting seriously on these additional restrictions that have been placed on them. But let me say that
no restrictions are going to be effective
unless they're effectively policed. And I want to say to Barbadians that the police and all of our civil authorities are fully behind these measures and will not be leaving anything to chance. It's not just a question of heightened presence. I want to assure you that these restrictions are going to be taken very seriously and that individuals will be charged by the Royal Barbados Police Force if they continue to fly in the face of the law. Over the last few days, even though we had said construction was to end, we found that a number of people were continuing to work on houses, and we've actually had to send out police officers to shut those projects down, and we've warned them in very strong terms that if they continue to try to do any of that kind of work, they're going to be arrested. There's too much at stake, and it is important that Barbadians recognize that the time has now come when the government has to not only impose strong strictures, but also to impose a strong enforcement mechanism. Already you know that one person has been charged for breaking curfew. I understand that other individuals have been held by the police, and so I think you can expect that if reckless behavior continues, the response of the Royal Barbados Police Force will be commensurate. Prime Minister?
Question for you, Acting Prime Minister. Since your address last night, there has been a heavy, heavy amount of public discourse.
I just want to thank you all for having the patience with us. We really should have been able to address the country before, but as you would appreciate, we were in a cabinet meeting after we would have met with our various stakeholders. And we just want to encourage Barbadians to just pay attention to the updates from reliable sources, the Government Information Service. There's a lot of fake news that is circulating in the media. And we would want you to err on the side of caution in relation to taking on board things that are not quite accurate. And therefore, we will continue to update you. I believe the directive will be available for publication later today in the event that there requires any concerns need to be addressed or for further clarity. But I just want to thank you all for your attention.
All right, that's a post-cabinet statement from the Acting Prime Minister Satya Bradshaw and the Attorney General Dale Marshall, less of a news conference. Actually, what it was a post-cabinet statement. And I'll have the notes available to the announcers so they can probably keep you updated throughout the afternoon. You may have some queries, but let me just go through briefly my own notes. The Acting Prime Minister stated, first of all, Barbados now has 46 cases of the coronavirus here, having recorded one more confirmed case since yesterday. The number now 46 after one more positive test. She said the cabinet subcommittee had met. They met with a number of these supermarkets and gas station owners because they've noticed that even after the statement last night, up to this morning, a large number of people still congregated outside supermarkets. And she said they can no longer delay the closing of the supermarket. So she's announced, in effect, now a 24-hour curfew. As effective 5 p.m. tomorrow, all supermarkets and mini-marts shall be closed until further notice. I believe you may still be able to place supermarket orders online. You can only be on the road. Members of the public are only allowed out of their house onto the road if they're going to the pharmacy, if they're going to seek medical attention, or if they are working as part of the essential services. Village shops can remain open, but no more than three people are allowed to congregate there to purchase items, and of course the sale of alcohol is banned in all places. All restaurants shall be closed until midnight on the 14th of April. All restaurants now closed. Gas stations only open for top-ups. All government departments shall also remain closed, except for those individuals who will be notified by memo that they need to be at work. And the Attorney General made the point that the police will fully enforce the restrictions. He noted that one person has so far been charged for violating the curfew, but he also made mention that other people have been detained since then, so we can expect more charges to follow. He also made a special mention of construction sites. All construction projects have been shut down. He said they've noticed that one or two people still continue to work on some construction areas, and he warned them that people will be arrested if they persist with that. As he said, yeah, more people have been arrested for breaking the curfew, more charges to follow. So in essence, this is now a 24-hour curfew. You're only allowed out of the house to go to the pharmacy or seek medical attention, or if you're working as part of the essential services. Stetson Babb, Starcom Network News.